Today we are going to read from the Old Testament, the Book of Moses, Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 16 through 19. I'll read from New King James Version. Verse 16, this day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. Today, you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He promised you that you should keep all His commandments, and that He will set you high above all nations which He has made, in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. Deuteronomy, of course, it is from the Latin. In plain English, second law. Of course, it does not mean God has given another law after He has given through Moses to Israel in the wilderness in Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments and other social or worship-related laws. It is 38 years after, since through Moses, Israelites, the former generation, the older generation, who received with the younger generation, 20 years and younger. Now, 38 years after, all those young, older generations are gone, except Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. So, in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, Moses was ordered by Yahweh to give last living testimony to the people of Israel. They are young generation. The oldest among them, except Joshua and Caleb, are just about 58 years old. Because the Lord made oath to destroy the older generation when the oldest one among the assembly before Moses today, 58 years old, they were 20 years old when God made oath to kill His older generations, including the 20 years old boy or girls, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, all they passed away over the 38 years. Lord God kept His promise of curse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, because of their unbelief, because of their disobedience to Lord's command, they perished in their sins. Lord made them fall to the ground in the wilderness life for 38 years. Now here, the younger generation, they were given the same commandment by the same mediator, Moses, servant of God. So here Moses, second time, not as second law, different from first law, no. He has spoken second time, but his audience are new generation. When he spoke first time, his audience was older generation, but all they passed away, except Joshua and Caleb. This younger generation, to their ears, by the order of Yahweh, Moses spoke once again. So, except Caleb and Joshua and Moses himself, all the audiences, to their ears, each fresh new. Either while they were young, or they were not born, when first time Moses spoke them, the same Lord's commandments, judgments. Now here, right before his removal from the earth, it means God is going to kill, not murder, let Moses depart from the earth by killing him, because Moses once, only once of the 4 years in his life as leader, once he did not honor God as he ought to, in front of grumbling, disobedient, murmuring Israelites. Instead of speaking to the rock that typified of Jesus Christ, he hit the rock with Aaron's staff. That's only one mistake, disobedience. By doing so, Moses dishonored God in front of murmuring disobedient assembly of Israelites. That's why, by that mistake, God took away privilege to enter the promised land from Moses. But by same God's command and order, Moses had to make sure the younger generation would not repeat their forefathers' mistake and sins, unbelief and disobedience. Here, chapter 26 is the concluding part of Moses' speech. But most important parts are following. Chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29. 29 is actual renewal of God's covenant with younger generation of Israel. Moses was still chosen as mediator between younger generation of Israel and Yahweh God. But here, concluding part of all laws, Moses made it clear in verse 16 through 19. This day, the younger generation to you, this day, Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. It is permanent law, should govern whole family of God, whether in Moses' current younger generation or later generation in the Old Testament times, or New Testament time saints, including us living in 21st century. The basic permanent principle is this. God commands us to observe all the laws and judgments of God. Because through Jesus Christ, we are engrafted to the nation of Israel. So in the eyes of God the Father, we are part of nation of Israel in spiritual sense. So same law is ruling among us. So the title of today's text is this. What is the covenant relationship between Yahweh and Israel? That is church. What is the covenantal relationship between Yahweh and His church? Old Testament nation of Israel, just they started as a nation in the wilderness. Right before their crossing Jordan River to conquer, to receive inheritance, the land of Canaan. They renewed Yahweh initiated Yahweh's covenant with themselves. And Moses stood as mediator between them. But we made covenant with God through our mediator, Jesus Christ, who is the reality of Moses. Moses was chosen as a type of coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. So we are standing today while we worship our living God through and for the sake of our mediator, Jesus Christ. We are receiving same commands. Observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you, it means we, shall be careful to observe all God's laws with our all heart and with our all soul. Because we sing, we praise, we give thanksgiving, and we offer, and we pray to God. By doing so, we proclaim, Lord to be our God. Yahweh is our God. That's what our witnessing activity. Lord's Day is our gathering corporate worship is our proclamation saying, Yahweh is our God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Moses' days, his audience is saying, through Moses' mediatorship, Yahweh is our God. We ought to be careful to observe all Yahweh's commandments and statutes and judgments with all our heart, with all our soul. Wait a minute. No human being can keep all the law of God. That cannot excuse us not to obey God's commandments through Jesus Christ. It is our attitude coming out of grateful heart, not to make us righteous before God by keeping observing God's law. No. Jesus observed all points of law on our behalf and gave us, imparted us His earned perfect righteousness as if that's our own. Because that's what God the Father prophesied, proclaimed to Abraham long time ago. Because Abraham could not keep God's law by himself. But to his descendant, God promised that would happen. Because God's covenant was Abraham and his offspring. Galatians chapter 3, Apostle Paul, he says there, verse 16. The promise was made to Abraham and to his descendant. It does not say to the descendants, plural, no. Referring to many, no, but referring to one. That's why Abraham and to your descendant offspring. And Apostle Paul says, who is Christ? So through Christ, God already proclaimed to Abraham all my promises. And it's respective accompanying blessings will be to you and to your offspring. But Abraham, you could not keep all my commandment, but your offspring, he will. So through the benefit of your offspring, that is coming Messiah, coming Christ, Abraham, yourself is also be blessed. And through that offspring, those who receive same gospel preached to you, Abraham, those who receive same gospel preaching, they will be blessed by your offspring. By same condition, what? Faith. But amazingly, faith is not self-generated. It is coming from above as a pure, perfect gift through operation of the Holy Spirit. So when gospel preached to the ears of Abraham, God granted Abraham the perfect gift of faith. No wonder. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. When God proclaimed to Abraham such blessed promises of covenant. Look toward heaven, number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then God said to Abraham, so shall your offspring will be. Verse 6, Abraham believed Yahweh, and Yahweh counted it to Abraham as righteousness for the sake of coming offspring, Messiah, the Christ. See, Abraham received God's preaching, gospel, by exercising faith. Self-generated faith? No. God-given, purely gifted faith. Just he exercised the faith it was given to him through gospel preaching. Exactly. That is covenant relationship God initiated with Abraham. And through that special offspring, later on named Christ Messiah, we also in Abraham's part stood there, received gospel proclamation to us. In meanwhile, about 430 years later, Abraham's descendant, nation of Israel, stood before Moses, received same gospel preaching as we read today's chosen text, chapter 26. Verse 16, your God commands you to observe all these statutes, judgments. They are gospel. And what was those audience response? Verse 17, Moses said, you have proclaimed Yahweh to be your God. It is previously ratified by action of Abraham. Genesis chapter 17. Because God commanded Abraham, now my initiated covenant relationship and the covenant blessing promised, covenant curse promised, Abraham, show me. You understood, and as I confirmed, you voluntarily should confirm by circumcision. That's what Abraham proclaimed Yahweh to be his God. Yahweh to be God of his whole household, including the promised seed, offspring, singular person, Isaac. So what is covenant relationship between Yahweh and his church, including Abraham as his descendant, plural? Simple. God's promised blessing came to Abraham. Abraham was called even before he recognized the whole scope of God's blessing. Chapter 12 of Genesis. God called Abraham when his father Terah passed away. Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families or nations of the earth shall be blessed. It is initial call of Abraham, actually second call of Abraham. Once he was Mesopotamia, Chaldea Ur, God called, and he and his father, they moved up to Haran here. Now his father passed away, God called Abraham again. And initial blessing of promise is confirmed in chapter 15:6. Abraham said, believed God's promise of abundant, numerous descendants. Now, chapter 17, once again, God said, I will be God to you and to your descendants. And you will be my people. It is an everlasting covenant. So, what is our understanding? It's simple. Moses, later, chapter 27, chapter 28. He followed God's command, because God told Moses, command Levites and leaders, as soon as they crossed Jordan River, they erect one stone altar and engrave my commands on them and plaster them. Then make them two groups. One group stand on Mount Ebal, another group stand on Mount Gerizim. From Mount Ebal, they spoke God's command and let them speak curse upon those who disobey. And on Mount Gerizim, let them speak God's command and speak blessing upon those who obey, observe it carefully with their heart and soul. This is still standing today in 21st century, almost after 3,500 years have passed. So what is Yahweh's covenantal blessing with him, between him and us? Simple. If we obey, promise the blessing. If we disobey, promise the curse. But through Jesus, we are granted obedience. But you know, I know, every day, we are disobeying God's law. Then God's promised curse is upon us whenever we commit sins against Him. Yes, but Jesus took upon Himself such curses. Then God would overlook all our disobedience and grumblings and ungrateful attitude. No, He would not overlook. Instead, as dear Father, He chastised us one at a time until all of us become grown perfect image of His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why through the remainder of our earthly pilgrimage, we are time to time under God's discipleship score, chastised here and there. By doing so, all our blemishes and the remnants of those curses stuck with us as bad habits and wrong personalities and deep-rooted sinful actions, speeches, all kinds of things under God's curse have traces in our hearts and souls. That's why we are under God's chastising rod, so that one at a time it will be permanently thrown out of our soul, so that the more we undergo God's chastising process, we become holier, more obedient, and more joyful, more grateful to our God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, make us ever grateful to You. Make us ever proclaim, as You proclaim to us, making us Your dear children. Make us ever proclaim, You are our God through Jesus Christ, so that all traces of remnant of chastised, cursed, bad habits and personalities, those things, may be taken away from our body and soul, so that in the end, we may be exactly like Your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Until that time comes, Lord, do not leave us. Embrace us, cherish us in Your bosom through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.